It's Helping Hand, Friday's HBR1 stations during our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered. Then online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Every week, Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that supports people with disabilities and people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are honored to have a returning guest that does an invaluable service in the community. PACT, Parents and Children Together, Hawaii Family Service Agency, that have been around a very long time. How long? Well, over 50 years now, because it was back in 1968 they were founded, and they've been helping those in need since. And as their website notes, they try to help families identify, address, and successfully resolve challenges. They have a number of programs in the areas of early childhood education, domestic violence prevention and treatment, dealing with child abuse and neglect prevention and treatment, and other programs we're going to hear about as we learn both about what they do to help people in need and also the ways that people can support them. And there are lots of ways to help them too. We have Dr. Marie Vorsino returning, VP of Intervention Programs, and she's brought along Dawn Carisu, who is VP of Strategy and Innovation, both from PACT. Thank you guys. Welcome, Marie and Dawn. Glad to have you here.
Thanks, Dave, so much for thank you so much for having us back.
You're welcome. And good to have you too, Dawn. And you guys, we'll dial in on some of your programs in a moment. But overall, first explain who PACT is and some of the key areas of support. And when I say key, I guess I would mean when you think about your overall year, the things that are most sought after in terms of support.
Thanks, Dave, again for having us. We're so grateful that to be joining you today. And, you know, our organization, like you said, has been around for 50 years. This is our 51st year, and we're really excited to continue to serve our community and work with the children and families in our communities. Parents and Children Together's mission is actually working together with the keiki, which are the children, individuals, and families, to create safe and promising futures. And all of our work falls into five key buckets, and some of them you mentioned, but one of them is our early childhood education programs through our Head Start and Early Head Start programs. That's one of our biggest buckets. We also have behavioral health support for our youth, as well as child abuse, neglect, prevention and intervention services, which you mentioned. We also have our domestic violence intervention and support services for youth as well as adults. And we also have community building programs and economic development programs.
Do you have shelters?
Absolutely, yes. We have domestic violence shelters, emergency shelters, as well as a transitional house for women.
So multiple shelter facilities.
Yes, correct.
That's pretty heavy. And beyond just the Honolulu area, on other islands too?
The shelters are on Oahu only.
Or only on Oahu. Talk about the PACT funding method, because I'm sure, because we just had on recently Parents Inc., who does similar kinds of work and helping out people. They do child abuse and prevention as well, and your name came up in that. Talk about how you guys get your funding.
So we get our funding from multiple sources. Definitely state contracts and federal contracts are our largest funding pieces. We also have private funding and private grants that we seek out for some of our special projects, and they really help to support some of the projects that might be underfunded in areas like our teen center or our poverty initiative that we're working on right now.
And that's kind of an important thing to mention too, because sometimes people think when an organization gets work from the government, maybe helping when there's child welfare cases or cases of abuse, and they get assigned to, and people get the impression that perhaps all of that money is paid for by the government. It doesn't really cover all the services, huh? It really leaves a lot of little areas that kind of the other private contributions need to be coming in to make up for.
You've hit the nail on the head. That really does happen, especially as we get into our neighbor island communities where resources are really limited. So we do rely on private funding and grants to support our initiatives over there, as well as Teen Center, and Dawn will talk a little bit about that. Our Teen Center here in Kalihi, prevention is not where the money is. And so we find that we do have to go to private donors or private funding to really help to support that program, because prevention for teens and families is so important.
And before we hear about that program, are all of the services statewide, or do you have certain services in certain areas?
We are in all communities in Hawaii. We have, and we're very proud to say that, we actually have a therapist on Molokai. and that's for our behavioral health programs.
So back to you, Dawn. Explain the program that she was referring to.
Well, our teen center is part of our community building programs, and we have two locations. One is at Kuhio Park Terrace, where our home base is, and the other is in Pu'u Waimomi, in the Halawa housing complex. And so we're located in two of the biggest public housing complexes across our state, and our drop-in teen center gives students an opportunity to come home to their home communities and be in a safe place. A lot of our teens have responsibilities after school that don't allow them to participate in the after-school programs at their home school, but they come home, they pick up their younger siblings, or they need to do help around the house, and then they come to our programs in the evenings and afternoons, and they have a safe place to build community with one another, to get to know one another, and to have really great mentors who are alongside for their journey. So we feel like these programs are essential for our youth, and it helps to keep them out of trouble after school. We see kind of an uptick in the, you know, things that are happening in our community, some of the negative behaviors and things. But these programs, and it's not just us, there are many programs across the state, but provide the safe place for our youth to come and be productive and to be contributing members of our communities.
And these are kids that, and you'll correct me if I have any of this wrong, these are kids, and this center is designed to help people, young people who otherwise are pretty at risk for falling into some much more severe kind of behaviors.
Absolutely. These youth are, you know, coming, again, they live in the largest public housing complexes in our state. So they are typically at-risk youth, but these are youth who also have a ton of promise to them as well. And when given the opportunities to be productive and be positive in a positive environment, we really see the long-term benefits and the long-term effects of them.
And were you going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say that what's really neat about this program is the kids can come to the after-school program and they kind of get to choose what they want to do. So they can finish their homework. They can go to a special group that might teach them about cooking or might teach them about computer programming. So it's really kind of trying to look at and build their own success in life. Hey, I'm interested in this, not as a teen. How do I then focus this interest into adulthood?
Right, being productive rather than sitting around doing dope and getting into crime with other kids.
Yeah.
And the kinds of, as we go through some of your programs, we don't have to wait till the end to think about ways that people can support it. Because these sound like they're, you know, you've made the case well for how beneficial these locations can be. When you think about them, as you're describing them, maybe you weren't thinking of, wow, we really could use, or something is missing in these two locations. So I don't mean to put you on the spot with that, but is there a way anyone can support these in particular, or any kind of shortcomings that, because it's a great, as you know, great opportunity to put those out there, because there are probably people who are sympathetic to your mission.
We're always looking for volunteers for some of our events. We also have other opportunities for volunteers to come in and help.
Like at those centers?
Some centers, yes. And I'll let Dawn talk a little bit about that.
So one of the things that we do during the summer at our KPT location is we have a summer food program. And the summer food program is... provides lunch, free meals to our youth, many of them whom come to our teen center, and gives them an opportunity to get one meal a day, at least one healthy meal a day. And so we see about 100 youth a day coming through our summer food program. So this is a great way for organizations or youth groups or faith groups to come and to be a part of contributing to our community. So we welcome anyone.
Like bankrolling the food, or people who have access to food itself?
Actually, just to come and volunteer to serve.
Just as volunteer.
Yep, it's a... KCC, we partner with KCC, so Kapi'olani Community College actually provides the food, and it's funded through national funding. So it's a great program, but it's a great volunteer opportunity for people to come and see.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. And on the early childhood education, both in terms of some of the services and other things you want to shine a light on that you could use assistance with.
Well, we have our early Head Start and Head Start programming here on Oahu and the Big Island. Assistance in that area, I think definitely volunteers, again, would be in the classroom. We do have opportunities for volunteers to read to the little kids, which is just delightful. And to have that opportunity to see how excited kids get when they're read to them, and really to promote reading in a little kid's environment. I think there are other opportunities probably on the Big Island as well.
Yep. And specifically at Kahawiki Village, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but we have an early Head Start program. We have three classrooms down at Kahawiki Village, which is a public-private partnership that's housing currently 30 families, formerly in transitional housing.
Why in Icoaster?
It's actually down on Nimitz. Yep. And so they are in phase two planning right now, and they're going to build about 111 more homes. They're going to be able to house about 140 families.
Wow.
And we are running the early childhood centers down there, but because many of those families are working families, the on-site childcare really allows those families to continue to improve their employment or go back to school. And we're providing 10-hour days down there. Mm. The funding doesn't cover the entire 10-hour days. So if people want to donate to things like scholarships, they're always welcome to not just donate their time, but time, talents, or treasures as well. So definitely some people, I mean, I think we can all agree that education is really important, and some folks out there might want to support these families and these youth.
You have all kinds of different things that that I'm sure resonate with, you know, different people are touched by different things.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly another one, we haven't really talked about it except mentioning it in passing, and it's probably one of the more serious aspects of your program, child abuse and neglect prevention, treatment. Real heavy subject, but very important one for people to roll up their sleeves and get involved in. Shine a light on specifics you'd like to mention about both the services that you're offering and ways that people could, who are touched by it, give back.
Definitely. We partner with Child Welfare Services here in Hawaii to provide the support services for our families and especially our youth. And we have home visiting services, we have early intervention services where we go and meet families who might be at risk. So all of our services are helping to support especially our youngest Keiki. And ways that families can help is by educating themselves, I think, especially in this area of child welfare and child abuse and neglect. And if they know that something's happening or they have a family member who might need support, they can always reach out to us to find resources. If they're unsure, I think this is a really touchy subject, but it does touch many of our lives, and so we're always here as a resource.
And in terms of your caseload, excuse me, thinking about that, I guess we don't have to differentiate, or you will if this is how you do it. Child abuse and neglect prevention and treatment, and then you got domestic violence mm-hmm. prevention and treatment, which is basically just an older version of the child abuse, I guess. How many new cases do you guys get? A week, a month, a year? Just to paint a picture of how severe, because it's, I think sometimes people don't like to accept the common nature of these really horrible, backward sort of things that occur, where kids are being hurt more than people realize. It's kind of like women are being abused, basically. Abuse is occurring more than people realize. What's the rate that you guys take in cases?
Ooh, that's tough. I wouldn't say that we have kind of a number. I would say that it is nationally, it's a startling statistics. If you look at domestic violence, 1 in 3 women are abused at any time in their life, and 1 in 7 men can be abused in their lifetime. And I think there in child abuse and neglect, it's pretty much the same kind of statistics. We're also looking, if you look at domestic violence, child witnesses of domestic violence, almost 10 million a year nationally, that young people in families where there is domestic violence, they are being subject to witnessing that. And we also know that if there is domestic violence in the home, there's often child abuse as well.
And witnessing stuff like that is just as traumatic and devastating. It's pretty important what you point out. And abuse comes in a lot of forms. It isn't always physical. Verbal abuse can be just as psychologically traumatic. But I still want to know, approximately. You have hundreds of child abuse cases you're dealing with a year, hundreds of domestic abuse. It is, I mean, you have to be able to give some sort of idea of what is coming here locally. And I'm not asking you to compare it to how big it is here versus the mainland. I agree. I believe what you're saying. What you're saying is that it's really big everywhere, and the statistics back up the way I introduced it. But I'm just curious, you have like several hundred of these cases on a just ballpark. What do you think?
Yeah. So for our OHIA shelter, which is our domestic violence shelter, we run about 5,800 bed days a year, and we are a 26 bed facility. So I would say that we are running at capacity for most days of the year. And that is adults and little kids as well. So we at that shelter, we can take kiddos. For our child abuse and neglect, it just really depends. For the work that we're doing, the voluntary case management, we are getting our caseloads for our case managers are upwards of 20 per case manager, and can go higher than that depending on kind of what they're dealing with. So it is, and we have a response time, a specific response time for those case management. So when you're talking about voluntary case management, it is very much a high-risk case. So that is where we think there's, you know, definitely something going on in the home, and we're trying to reach out and help that family. So, you know, just looking at our caseloads with our case managers, they're pretty significant.
For somebody who's facing domestic abuse and they want to get out of that, there are many organizations that have shelters for women and for kids, I guess, who are in this kind of horrible situation. Mm-hmm. So for somebody who's listening, who is going through that situation, and with the statistics you provided, undoubtedly that must be the case, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Are you guys one of these places that those kind of women or those kind of people who are being abused should be, when we give the contact information, is this the place that they should call first, or do you call the cops first? And you're, I mean, because as an outsider, who cares? I'm just mm-hmm. asking generally. Is this someone for someone listening who's going through? Or when we get to the end, they're going to be like, "Yeah, I'm calling them," kind of thing, or should they really be calling the cops? Or
I think it really depends on the situation, Dave. If you are in danger, your life is in danger, please call the police. Definitely try to get out of that situation as soon as possible. Our crisis shelter, you can call the 847-328-5 number that you gave. You can also call 832-0855, which has it is our Family Peace Center. And then we also have a 24/7 crisis line that is in that message, that 832-0855 number. So you can call that as well.
What's that?
832-0855, and I'll get you the crisis line number as well. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
But when people call 832-0855, it'll have a 24-hour line
yes.
number that it'll provide.
It'll provide right into the OHIA shelter. And what we do there is we do a quick assessment, a quick intake, and we can, once we find out like where you are, do you want some help safety planning? Do you want some help with some different resources, some referrals? We can provide those, as well as we can assess if you are that you can come into the shelter. And the shelter, you can stay for up to 90 days, and we really help you look at increase your safety planning, but we're also looking at longer term. So we can help you with getting housing. We can help you with really meeting the goals that you want to do while you're in that shelter. So if you are in danger, please call our number. We can help you. And if you feel like you have experienced domestic violence in your life and maybe you're out of that situation, but you want some help processing that trauma that you've experienced, we have our Family Peace Center. And our Family Peace Center works with individuals that have been abused in domestic violence situations. And we provide an excellent opportunity through groups for them to process that trauma. in domestic violence, you enter into a situation where you are very much isolated from your friends and your family and your community. And we find that this group format really helps them to process that and begin to understand the situation that they were in. So that is another opportunity. If you're either in the situation and you want additional help, we have various ways that you can get that help.
And also, I guess something else you just mentioned there, Marie, which and you'll correct me if I have this wrong as I'm listening to you. Do you guys, someone who has gone through this and is a survivor also can probably, I'm assuming, provide some certain kinds of strength and encouragement to others. Is it also a case where, as a way to help you guys with your support groups, that people who have survived this and want to give back by being an encouraging force for other people who are going through it, do you encourage them to reach out to you to help be part of groups and stuff?
I would say it definitely be part of groups if they have experienced this. We do hesitate from having volunteers come into our Family Peace Center because of the confidentiality issues related to that. But, you know, you said it exactly. It's so helpful for survivors and for individuals that have been in this situation to know that they're not alone.
Right.
And those groups really provide that. And it really helps to just enrich and help them get through that trauma that they've experienced.
Yeah, no question. And on the what can we do to support those aspects of your service in the same way we talked about some of the other ones? Are there unique things you need? And it could be the facility itself, like maybe because it costs money to keep a building going, right?
Mm-hmm,
AC
mm-hmm.
and water and all this stuff that goes into just a structure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have people who do it comp or at low cost? Or could you, if there are people out there who are in the construction business or know how to do those kind of tasks and handyman stuff and maintenance, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Would you like to hear from them as a way to help you guys, or do you guys already have that kind of thing?
No, definitely. And we've had the opportunity in the past to partner with individuals that want to help in that way, like giving back their time and their energy. And as you know, Don said, it's really important for us. We are funded. However, at the same time, some of these things, if you imagine a shelter, the turnover rate is very high. And so the effects on that shelter, painting is very helpful, coming in and doing some repair work. Coming in, we had one opportunity where we partnered with an individual who came in and decorated one of our rooms in the shelter. So, you know, give back in that way. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
Yeah, well, just because there's lots of other ways people might be able to do something and they just don't realize it yet sometimes. Mm-hmm. Some things are people just want the word spread about what they, I mean, there's just lots of ways sometimes that you haven't thought of. So that's ways. And any other ones, what do you think, Dawn? Anything that we haven't covered in terms of other elements of support that people could give to the programs we've outlined? And I know you do a lot of other programs. We couldn't highlight them all, but in any other ways you think people listening could either make financial contributions or sponsor different things, or as you also wisely pointed out, organizations that want to do things as a team or that can play a larger role in maybe financing or bankrolling large projects, anything that you want to throw out there?
Well, I think absolutely just where people feel comfortable, whether it's time, right? Like I said, time, talents, or treasures. If they can give their time, we have lots of volunteer opportunities. If they can share their talents, like Marie said, there's opportunities for them to do that, whether it's through maintenance work or whether it's through painting or whether it's building a bookshelf for one of our classrooms.
Right.
We can certainly use talents as well. And then also treasures. If people have excess money, excess treasure, excess things that they'd like to donate to us, we certainly welcome that, because it takes a community, an entire community.
You need vehicles. Do you need a new space to do any groups or meetings or anything? Any of those things out there? Because sometimes, and the only reason I threw out both, are there's a lot of people who have access to vehicles and sell them and stuff here on our very crowded Oahu, where there's a lot of vehicles, which you probably realize. And then, in addition to that, there are a lot of organizations that have spaces, that have community centers, churches, those sort of things. And sometimes when they hear about these, I know from experience on Helping Hand, by mentioning it, it has opened up doors for places where people say, oh, you need need it every fourth Saturday, we can do that for you. Do you need anything like that, just in case?
At this moment, I can't think of anything, but the community has been really generous, and we have partnered with faith-based groups and things like that to run some of our programming. So we're really grateful, and we really want to say thank you to everyone who's out there who has ever contributed to Parents and Children Together or any of our fellow nonprofits, because we are always grateful for the support of the community. We cannot do this work alone.
Well, there's lots of ways to help them, and as you can tell, they're involved with a lot of really heavy stuff, and they're doing you know, the kind of work that you're probably grateful that there's somebody there for people to call in need. Their website is where you can learn a lot more, pacthawaii.org, and you can make a donation there too, right? People who are wanting to just get right into their philanthropic side, you can do it at their website. You can also give them a buzz. Undoubtedly, there may be questions you've had developed as we've talked, or you may need their help. 808-847-3285. And also 832-0855. At that number, on the message, you can get access to their 24-hour hotline for people who are experiencing a crisis and you need help around the clock. Then there's someone there live on that hotline?
Yes, and I did look up our crisis line number so that I could not remember it, 526-2200. And that is a direct line into our shelter.
526-2200.
Yes.
24 hours a day.
Yes.
And it's okay to give that out on the air and
yes.
in our segment and everything. You can send them an email, admin@pacthawaii.org. You can get all this contact information, obviously, at hawaiipublicradio.org, where we've got the contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our other Helping Hand guests waiting for you. It is Parents and Children Together Hawaii. It's a family service agency, also called PACT. And Dr. Marie Vorsino, who is the VP of Intervention Programs and has been with us before, talking about what is a pretty humbling bunch of services to offer. And Dawn Kurisu. And Dawn is another VP over there. Well, strategy and innovation is her aisle at PACT. And lots of folks that you guys helped. It's been over 50 years. They've been doing this since 1968. One can only imagine how many folks have come through looking for help. And so thank you for all that help you've been providing. And I really do hope that some people can come through with some ways to support you. We've outlined a lot of different ways and a lot of different levels. So thank you. Thank you for letting me try to help.
Thank you so much, Dave, for having us on.
Thank you so much.